Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, Shasta County, Redding, and surrounding areas. This is Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel, and we're filling in for Carl and Linda, who are out today. And you might recognize these sweet baritone drippings of my voice from my Saturday morning show. I normally talk about real estate. What I don't talk about a lot when I'm discussing real estate is the fact that I'm a bit of a right-wing wingnut, as they would say. No, just a good conservative, and enjoying the opportunity. And I'd like to thank Carl and Linda for the opportunity to get in here and talk about some of our local issues and some politics and some of the other good fun stuff. So how are you this morning, Ruth?
I'm doing good. I'm a little anxiety because we have big shoes to fill today, Kurt.
We do. We're stepping in for some true professionals that are used to doing this every day. We're not used to quite doing this, so bear with us. And if you don't like it, feel free to call 605-4567. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And again, we're filling in for Carl and Linda Botten.
You have a little bit more than baritone in your voice, Kurt.
Yeah, I am fighting. Boy, I'm going to be happy to talk about that, Ruth. I am fighting, I don't know exactly what. I felt kind of goofy last Saturday when it started. Felt like borderline, and for me, very unusual, borderline depressed last Sunday. My wife's like, "You look like you're depressed." You know, I don't get depressed. I just felt like I was in a funk. Could not shake it all week. About Tuesday, started getting really bad allergies where my nose would run. Wednesday, well, I got some really bad advice. Had it happened to be from you.
Well, let me just say, if anybody tells you, if they're sneezing and coughing, that they have allergies, run. Run, people. Just
well,
run.
Well, it has been a little bit crazy, because maybe there's others of you out there that are struggling with this. My nose, I moved back here from Chicago 10 years ago, and for the most part, my allergies had been gone. The corn season in Chicago had been brutal on me. Came back here, and in the nice dry weather, we'd had no issues. This year, it has been absolutely abysmal. My nose ran like it was a faucet. So Ruth gave me the idea to take some Allivert. And for those of you that works for, wonderful. For me, it was absolutely worthless. And because it's this new kind of drug, it does not allow you to take any other medicine for 24 hours.
Kurt, anyhow. I believe it was Allegra. When you say you have allergies,
it was Allegra.
I believe it was Allegra. Well, the problem is that you don't have allergies, Kurt. It's called a cold. And when people tell you that they have allergies when they're sneezing, you just automatically assume it's definitely a cold. So
well,
get your airborne, get your coldies, because it's coming at you.
Yeah, the downside was you take that medicine, you can't take anything for the rest of the, for another 24 hours. And then it kind of transferred into a bit of a flu yesterday. So luckily, today I feel pretty good. I'm going to take it easy again today. Spent the day in bed yesterday, able to listen to some of the political news out there, which was astonishing, as we prepare for our supposed government shutdown today, which I somehow feel like they'll most likely avert, don't you?
I'm of the opinion they've only got 6 months. Why take that battle on? Why take it on now? Take it on in 6 months.
Because that's
shut
what
it
we
down
elected,
in 6 months.
No, and that's what we elected them to do. We elected them to take it on immediately.
Well, I just actually got an email from my nephews in the 82nd Airborne who was told,
don't
I'm just
buy
telling
it.
You,
don't
they were
buy
told
it.
They are not getting their paycheck.
Yeah, that's because, don't buy it. That's straight off the liberal garbage line. Oh, the Army men won't be paid. Do you really think there are people that stupid? And I think the answer is probably yes.
Now, I have to tell you, Kurt, now
they will get paid.
Because you have no connection there. These kids were told they're not getting paid.
Okay, well, I'll give it. I'm sure the military knows what they're doing. So they're going to tell them, give them the real truth. If it goes the way it's going down now, maybe they don't get paid. It goofs things up for a day or two. The reality of it is, though, the Republicans have already tried to pass one measure that will continue to fund the military for the rest of the year. And the Democrats are saying no. So I guarantee you the Republicans will put up such a stink to make sure that the military gets paid. The only reason the Democrats aren't doing that is because they want the ammo to say, hey, we're not paying our military. We're starving the old people. The same nonsense that the dumbed-down people listen to. When people hear that, they think, oh, gosh, we're going to shut down the government. Nobody's going to be able to eat. The kids aren't going to get their free lunches. The old people aren't going to get their meals on wheels. Hey, let's take the opportunity to look at it and say, maybe we shouldn't have some of these programs. Maybe we can't afford them. Maybe we treat this like average Americans treat it and say, I can't afford to go to McDonald's every morning for breakfast because I'm broke. So now I need to come up with another plan, which is to eat a bowl of cereal. Anyhow, we need to take our first break. This is a little taste of what we'll be talking about. We have lots to talk about. Feel free to call in with any questions you have at 605-4567. And we'll be back right here on KCNR 1460.
It's 710 and 40 degrees in downtown Reading. Full weather report coming up right after this on the home of Free Fire Radio. Check in the weather real quick. Mostly sunny today. High near 61. Partly cloudy tonight. A low near 40. Beautiful weekend and a high near 67 for your Saturday. Right now, 39 degrees downtown. Weather report always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now back to our guest host on the home of Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back, Reading, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent. I'm filling in this morning with my partner here, Ruth Angel. We're filling in for Carl and Linda, who are enjoying, hopefully, someplace fun today. And we're having a discussion about multiple things, but one of the things we touched on was this looming government shutdown. And we have our first caller on that one. Jay, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there.
Good morning, Jay.
You know, when a 16-year-old is driving the car poorly, what do? You have them pull over and shut off the car, right, until the adult can get over in the driver's seat. A shutdown doesn't strike me as a terribly horrible thing the way they've been driving the country.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, Jay. I think you're probably onto something. And well, that's one of the things I was touching on. It seems to me that this is an opportunity to say, wait a minute. Now, Harry Reid gets out every morning and talks about having to stop the funding for women's health. Well, I don't necessarily agree that this was the super perfect opportunity to go after that bit of funding, although I do think it should be defunded. That gave them the ammo they needed. But other than that, I think it gives us an opportunity if we do shut it down. And I'm thinking shut it down for more than a week. Because what if we, God forbid, get out there and discover that there's a whole bunch of things that we didn't even know were gone that we're paying huge billions and trillions of dollars for? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, what if you get the shutdown, all of a sudden you realize that you don't miss half this stuff. It's, you know, half the stuff that we shut down, we don't really want to turn back on in the first place.
Well, I think we have to be careful what we ask for, because our military, they're out there, they may not get paid, they may not get their first paycheck or their paycheck, but they'll eventually get it, but these are the kids that can least afford it.
Well, I don't see Ruth.
Understood, ahead, but I'm pretty sure they're still going to feed them in the barracks. You know, I'm pretty sure they're still going to have a barracks to sleep in. I understand what you're saying, but that's not policy than an actual thing. Any sane politician will actually try.
All right, Jay, you're kind of in and out there. We just
someone's clicking in on me. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, Jay. Thanks for the call. I think one of the things that Ruth is buying into here, and bless her heart, she can tend to have a little bit of a liberal slant to her from time to time. But, you know, one of the things that the liberals are very good at is taking something and realizing that the bulk, and I say this in the nicest possible way, the bulk of the overwhelming majority of the voters in the United States don't pay attention.
But
they
don't understand, Kurt. Why take the stand now when you only have 6 months to
because if you
pass
I'll tell you why. I'll 3%
of the budget.
I'll tell you why. Two words. George Bush. The guy had the opportunity to do amazing things and was a huge disappointment because he continually compromised. And the difference between him and Obama was Obama and Pelosi, as much as I can't stand the woman, she did exactly what her people wanted her to do. If the Republicans had done that, we'd be in a different state than we were in before. That's the bottom line. That's the difference, in my opinion, between what we've seen with previous Republicans and current Republicans, is that these Republicans are doing something. They're doing what we sent them there for. You know, we sent Bush there to do things. And what did he do? He increased our deficit. He increased spending. He didn't do any of the things we really want him to do. I give him credit for the judges. He put good judges in there.
We're
the
talking
liberals,
about extreme.
Yeah,
that's extreme.
The health care plan wasn't extreme.
No,
Ruth?
What I'm saying to you is just shutting down the government for 6 months, taking the stand now, drawing a line in the sand now.
Six
is
months
crazy.
To shut it down would be
because
probably a little bit too much.
You take a big chunk. It's politics. You take a big chunk. You'd be happy with that big chunk. In 6 months, you say, now we're drawing the line.
Well, they are just taking a big chunk. We're talking about less than one half of 1% of the federal budget is what they're talking about in cuts. So you're not.
No, we're talking about 3%. We're talking about the biggest cuts ever now. If they just accept what
completely erroneous. That is not what we're talking about. They're talking about $60 billion max in cuts, in a multiple trillion dollar deficit. They're talking about Paul Ryan's plan. That's not what's been proposed for the next 6 months. That's what's proposed for next year.
They're talking about 3%.
Well, no.
Yes, they are.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Lena.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sitting in front of the TV all day yesterday.
That's true. I was. Now, and Megyn Kelly, by the way, for those of you who enjoy, we get a lot of Fox News on here. What a beautiful pregnant woman.
She is gorgeous.
5 days away and very smart. Anyhow, I want to stay focused. Let's not get
this. But you're a Rachel Maddow fan. I know
it.
Yeah.
I always love girls that look
Rachel
like little
Maddow
boys.
Fan.
Anyhow, moving, you know, continuing on this, what I started with there, Ruth, was that you're buying into this liberal mantra, similar to the judge who thinks she gets elected and goes on after winning, taking over by 200 votes, saying, I'm going to do a great job, thank you, I'm the winner. And then, oops, we found 7,000 votes. Maybe you're not the winner. Now she's a little bit confused. But liberals are much better at that. They're better at taking it, and if they repeat it enough time, the uneducated will believe it. Similar to this. They're not going to feed old people if we shut down the government. They're going to take the food out of the babies' mouths. They're going to stop the school lunches. They're going to starve old people and hurt women's health. They want women to get cancer, was the one I heard on TV all day yesterday. It's not true. They're not going to feed. They're not going to pay our military. That's the one that you're buying into. I don't believe it. It may be a day or two where they don't take care of it, where they have to figure these things out. But I can tell you the Republicans have already put forward a bill that will continue to fund the military through the end of the year. What's the first thing that Obama said when he heard that? I'm going to veto it. Now, why would he veto it unless he wants to make this an issue? And so people like you hear that, and you start thinking, oh, the poor military. And believe me, the military deserves to be treated like royalty. They do. They sacrifice. They give up a lot. So when conservatives hear that, they're like, whoa, 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 back up the truck. And we should be thinking that way. But the truth of the matter is it's just a ploy. It's a Democratic ploy to make us start to feel sorry and not to keep focused on what we're focused on.
I think I'm just of the opinion you take baby steps to get to the bigger picture.
I'm completely disagreeing with you on that today, Ruth, just because the fact is when Bush tried to take baby steps, all we did was fail. And what the Democrats do is they get in there. When they win, they shove their agenda down our throat. When we win, it's all about compromise. And I disagree with that. The days for compromise are gone. The days for us to shove it down their throats. And I think if they do shove it down their throats and we don't get anywhere, I think it'll be a bigger landslide in 2012.
Well, also, just a poll that I think you'll be interested in is Sarah Palin came in last as far as GOP.
Yeah, sadly, I think Sarah Palin's ship has sailed. I think I don't know if she has the intellectual capacity, which is sad because I hope she did. It goes to my theory. If you listen to the radio show we do on Saturdays when we talk about real estate, I think that the biggest problem Sarah Palin has as a politician is she's attractive. And there's no place for an attractive conservative woman in politics. Because if you look at the ones the Democrats have out there, most of them could stop a train. Anyhow, we need to take another break, and then we'll be back right after this.
720 right now on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio. This portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. That's the home of their walk-in humidor and espresso joes. Head on in there and get something tasty to drink from the T&B Sweeties. They are big supporters of the community. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Now back to Chris and Ruth, or Kurt and Ruth.
Call me Kurt.
I like
call me Chris.
Chris.
Doesn't
I
matter. Chris is my...
For some reason, I came up with Chris Angel because there was a TV show with Chris Angel, and I did
magician.
A little cross... Yeah. Anyway.
Kurt needs a little magic.
That's right. Kurt and Ruth on
Chris
KCR.
Angel Mindfree. My stage name, just so you know, was Mr. Beefy back in my dancing days. When that was back before I got married, I had that dancing career.
I just got the flu.
Anyhow, we're back. We're talking politics. This is Kurt Largent. I have the radio show on Saturday mornings, the Kurt Largent Show, where we talk about real estate. Today, we're able to broaden those horizons. We're filling in here on KCNR 1460 AM for Carl and Linda, who have taken the day, hopefully getting to do something enjoyable. And
big
I'm
shoes,
joined.
Kurt,
oh,
not
very
big egos.
Filled.
Big shoes.
Sadly, my ego is quite big. That's why I'm only allowed to do this once a year. I'm joined again this morning. I'm joined every Saturday by Ruth Angel. How are you, Ruth?
I'm still doing good. I don't know about Beefy Cakes or whatever.
Mr. Beefcakes.
Maybe your wife calls you that. I'm not really
not
sure.
Not in a long time, bless her heart.
But, Kurt, today we have guests in about 10 minutes. We have Debbie from Honor Flight. We also have Jeff Dennis from Centerline. We also have Jason Jones from Well Small Flaherty and Wheel. Joining us at the 8 o'clock hour, so we've got a pretty full show today.
Good. We're trying to fill these shoes. Hopefully, we do an adequate job while they're gone. Before the break, we were talking about the shutdown, which is looming. And it's not much of a local issue, and I know Carl and Linda like to keep everything here local, and the Honor Flight segment will bring that back a little bit. But one of the things that came to mind this week was the role of government. As we're discussing this shutdown and the role of government on a local level, even though we're not discussing a shutdown here, Reading has a small microcosm of the issues that are going to be facing the nation. Our debt isn't quite as big, and maybe, you know, it could be significantly smaller. We have one thing that the federal government does not have, and that is the Reading Electric Utility. Now, the U.S. government has something that could be our own Reading Electric Utility. That's called the Alaska. It could be an unlimited tap of oil that we could then lease at amazing remarks, or even somehow borderline nationalize it as an emergency to help fund things. But one of the reasons Reading's not in worse financial shape is because we have this well-thought-out, well-run, I'm giving credit where credit's due, I'm not really sure I consider it a government agency so much so. Their executives are paid like regular executives, and they bring in the best and the brightest. Can't always say that for every aspect of government. But the Reading Electric Utility brings extra resources to town that brings extra resources into the budget that the government, the local government's able to use. The U.S. government doesn't have that, so they have to, their source of revenues is taxes. Reading's issue would be that, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little distracted here. Reading's issue would be that when we have these extra government services, we have to look at it and say, what do we need? What can we do without? And one of the things that came to my mind this week, Ruth, was the Southwest Plains. Now, I can see your head spinning because you're thinking, how in the world do you go from the Southwest Plains having metal fatigue? Well, that's a perfect example of where we don't need government intervention. I see idiots like Rachel Maddow get on the TV and talk about how why we have to have the FAA to save everybody. Well, no one died. The metal ripped off that plane. No one died. No one got hurt. Someone will probably sue. God bless America. Everybody gets to sue. But no one got hurt. It didn't cost the government anything. And then Southwest, which doesn't have any partners, pulled 80 of their planes off the line by themselves. They did that voluntarily. Why? Because it made good business decision. They didn't want to get sued. God forbid somebody dies. They're going to lose millions of dollars. So what's the best thing for them? Well, they treat it like a business. They let market forces run their decisions and good common sense, smart people running that company. And so they pulled those planes automatically. We didn't need any government intervention. And it reminds me of things that quite often, locally, we'll do things. And I look at it and go, why do we need another fire station? And I know it comes down to, and this is a topic we're not going to have time to finish right now, but it brings up the idea that it's response times, which then comes back to insurance companies. But what do we really need? When did we get to the point where our government interaction involves more things of what I would consider like frivolities? Not maybe frivolities is not the right word, but they're extras. It's not an essential.
I guess when you're on the other end of that heart attack, Kurt, you're happy that you have a fire station to
house. And that's a wonderful argument. I hear that all the time. Well, when it's your house burning, and by the way, I did start a fire last year. I was grateful to have those guys out there. But the bottom line is, at what cost?
Well,
if it costs them $25,000 to get 16 trucks out to my house, then I should pay for that.
I have to say, don't pick on the fire guys.
I'm not picking on the fire guys. I'm just saying.
Putting those fires out, you have to give them all their due. They're heroes. They're out there putting out those fires. But
okay, let's not pull it down to the liberal. No. I'm not isolating the firemen. I'm talking fire stations. The firefighters do a wonderful job. I'm talking about response times.
I totally understand that, Kurt. And what I'm saying to you is that they justify those firehouses by response times, and they get the public energized by... it takes you 10 minutes to get to a house if somebody's having a heart attack or fire, as opposed to 5 minutes. I mean, that's basically how it's done.
We need to wrap it up. We'll be right back.
Fox News coming up next, and then more of Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. .734 now on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Radio. This portion of the program brought to you by B&T Satellite. You've seen the sign, don't call the 800 number. They're in their new location. They're on Liberty Street where Highway 44 splits coming into town. Doug Tooley, experienced satellite installer, has a professional team. They'll set you up with home theaters, basic satellite, mobile satellite for your RV, whatever you need. They're the ones to call. That's B&T Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. They're online at ReadingHDTV.com.
Hi, are we back?
We are back.
Yay, I was kind of expecting some music, something to get us going.
A little different than our regular show on Saturdays. This is Kurt Large, and I'm joined by Ruth Angel. We're filling in for Carl and Linda this morning here on Free Fire Radio. And you can listen streaming if you are, possibly, KCNR1460.com. And we have a guest now. And Ruth, go ahead and tell us about our guest.
Today, our guest is Debbie from Honor Flights. Debbie, tell us a little bit about your organization and what you do.
Honor Flight Northern California is part of Honor Flight Network, which is a nationwide organization started in Ohio by Earl Morse, who is a nurse at a Veterans Administration VA hospital. And he noticed World War II veterans missing out on going to see their World War II memorial in Washington, D.C., so he asked them if he could fly them himself, and he did. And from that grew a wonderful, wonderful network of folks who see the need for World War II veterans to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. before it's too late. There are 1,200, approximately, World War II veterans passing away each year, so we have a real urgent mission. This may be their last mission as veterans.
How do you qualify to take one of those flights if you're a World War II vet?
We actually take all veterans to their memorials, and we're starting with World War II veterans. To qualify, they fill out a veterans application, and a lot of them sent them to Ohio. And we receive them in California. We have four hubs now in California. Honor Flight Northern California covers from Bakersfield to the Oregon border. So we have about 800 World War II veterans waiting on our list to go. Mm. Our office is here in Shasta County for phone calls and sending in your applications.
So there's already 800 people from Bakersfield North that have applied for this program to get the opportunity to fly back and see...
Correct.
See the World War II vet, the World War II Memorial in D.C.
Yes, correct.
That's a big number.
So do you house them? What's the procedure when you get on that plane?
After we phone them and screen for abilities, we take guardians with us to help assist and pamper our veterans. We love them. And so our trip takes 3 days. We fly east on the first day, and... The second day we spend touring the Capitol, first the World War II Memorial, and then as many more as our ladies and gentlemen's health will allow. And then the third day we fly back to California. So we're there 2 nights and 3 days. We're all together.
Now, there's no cost, right?
No, this is for free. We work by donations from organizations and individuals. And I can tell you that the most generous... group is our greatest generation. They want the next person after they go, they want someone else to get a chance to go. They understand the value. For us locally, it started with my dad, Gilbert Wally. I was able to go with him in 2007 in October and received a taste of how this works. And we formed a board. Some of the representatives from Ohio came out here, and we have a board that consists of members at the Yountville home, members in San Francisco, and three board members here in the Shasta County.
So how many people can go in your groups? How many people typically are on those tours?
The ideal group size for us is... 50. We take 32 to 35 veterans, depending on how mobile they are, and the rest are guardians. I'm having a guardian training May 14th here in Reading at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street from 10 a.m. to noon, and we take very big pride in the safety, keeping these folks safe.
Sorry, Ruth. Where do you fly out of? So if someone from Bakersfield and someone from Reading, obviously a long ways apart, how does it work? Does someone come pick them up at their house? Or?
The veterans are responsible to get themselves to the airport, and that happens in a variety of ways. We don't leave them stranded. We'll ask family members. We'll ask them if they have friends, whether it's the VFW or AMVETS or American Legion, someone that can bring them. if they don't have family. And we take them from there. They're responsible to get to the airport. And we generally fly out of San Francisco.
Out of San Francisco, okay.
So it is a long trip, and sometimes they have to spend an extra night to get on the flight on the Friday or whatever day we go on.
Okay, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back and continue with this right after this.
KCNR 1460, this is Free Fire Radio. Weather right now at 743. Mostly sunny today. High should be near 61. Partly cloudy tonight with a low near 40. Mostly sunny for your weekend. High near 67 right now. 42 degrees in downtown Reading. And back to our guest host, Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel.
Hi, good morning. We're taking you into your morning workday with Debbie from Honor Flights. What a truly, truly honorable volunteer just magnificent organization that you have. And we were just talking with Jim Bremer, who came in and said that he's seen some of the YouTube videos. Very heartwarming.
Thank you. It is. And there isn't a way to describe how it is to be with these folks. Some of them, their families don't have enough money to send them health care, and other rising costs are keeping some of our older veterans from being able to participate in a lot of activities. So donations to this cause is a great way to help these folks, because you know, they're not able to make the trip alone anymore, and so that's why we have the Guardians. You can find us on the internet at honorflightnorcal.org. You can email us from there if you'd like. You can call us here locally, 357-3380. There's a lot of ways to contact us.
And so you're looking for donations as well from the public.
Absolutely.
Other than donations, which is obviously, if you can, this is one of those things that you look at, like Wounded Warrior Project, another great project that, you know, these are great donations, non-political donations, just donations to people to help an organization that helps people that deserve this. And any way you look at it, our vets deserve the best from us. And so a program like this, to me, just makes sense. Having never served, although I'm a son of my dad's retired military, obviously. But, you know, they sacrifice so much. And my big concern is I see the younger generation and this wishy-washy teachers. And although, thank goodness, not locally. Back east in Chicago was a great concern. You just don't see the respect for what these guys gave up, what they sacrificed. Not just World War II, although World War II, without a doubt, those guys gave up everything for 7 years, 8 years, you know, just, you know, life, limb, everything. That's the Vietnam guys had a much rougher time. The Korean guys had a rough time. All these guys gave up so much so that we could be free. And then we have our children, and I have a 14-year-old son, and to me it's been very important because I don't see him getting anywhere else to see the value and to see what these guys contributed to us. So for me personally, I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. I can tell you, we would take your son with your permission if he was willing to be a guardian and we deemed him capable of coming with us. Parents can give that permission to us. We have taken young adults. We have taken active duty military along with us. This is a great opportunity to mix generations. We've taken Vietnam veterans as guardians, who then also get to see their memorial and react together. These two wars together, World War II and Vietnam era veterans, have a bond that you may not realize. When the World War II veterans came home, they came home after the parades, after the hoopla and celebration. They went to their hometowns and they did their jobs. They got their jobs. They raised their families. Me, I'm one of those. And I got to live that dream. I'm honoring veterans every time from the day I was born. I've been honoring veterans by living what they fought for.
We certainly see your passion. And you're looking for volunteers in all aspects. And I love the idea that you take the kids, that you will take people and train them to be guardians to go with you. That is just so awesome.
That's a neat thing. You know, if you have a son, the idea of trying to get them some civic mindedness to help them understand, or a daughter,
although it'd be hard for me to let my daughters go. But, you know, for a child also, it'd be a great learning experience for them. It'd be character building. It'd be something that actually would help them later on in life, gives them an appreciation for what these guys sacrifice.
And giving back to the veterans. It's just amazing that that's something
a great,
that you do.
That's a neat
that's
thing.
That's part of the legacy of service that I believe we're creating and adding to with this program. They obviously gave us a legacy of service for military and to look towards. We have to build that with our youth. They have to understand, and this is a great way to do it. Some of the conversations that we've had with these veterans, you can find at the Northern California Veterans Museum and the Veterans History Project. We record some of these folks, so we are partnered with them, Honor Flight Northern California, for recording history. And what better way than to be with living history?
So again, your website, if people want to donate to this great cause, what's the best way to do it? Through the website, via phone? What do you
either
suggest?
Either way, honorflightnorcal.org. You can donate via PayPal, very update methods. You can call, you can write checks, we can give you an address by calling the 357-3380.
Does it help to donate locally versus nationally?
Oh, Honor Flight Northern California, use who you want to donate to. If you send the check back to Ohio, it takes twice as long for us to get those folks back there.
Okay.
And if parents have want information about your Guardian program, they can contact you, Debbie, at info@honorflight.org or give her a call at 357-3380. They're located in Anderson. I think it's just awesome what you do and the organization that you have. Having been back to the memorials, I mean, I cry and I wasn't in the military.
No, great sacrifice. So thanks for coming in and sharing.
Thank you both, Kurt and Ruth.
Yeah, you're very
welcome. Have a great morning.
Well,
thank you.
You too. And our next guest will be Jeff Dennis from Centerline.
Free Fire Radio will continue on KCNR 1460. It is 7:50. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back, Shasta County and Redding. This is Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel. We're filling in for Carl and Linda today here on Free Fire Radio. You can listen to us streaming at kcnr1460.com. Feel free to call in with any questions, suggestions, criticisms, which are rare and few and far between, but feel free, 605-4567. And we're going to talk now with a local guest, a local business. By the way, I'm going to give a free shout out here. If I had a little bell, back in Chicago, Steve Dahl would always ring his little bell for his free plugs. Guy Rents. Beautiful weekend coming up here in Redding, everybody. So, wonderful opportunity to get out there. The guys down at Guy Rents have taken care of me for years. They used to go out to Palo Cesar Rentals. It's no longer there, sadly, but they've moved around. And anyhow, the Guy Rents guys went out of their way last week, and I went down there Saturday late with the wrong hitch on my Expedition, Ruth. And you know what they did? They're closed on Sunday. He came back down Sunday morning to meet me. So for those of you needing for some free power equipment, those big projects, this is the weekend to do it before it gets real hot. Maybe get that grass cut down so it doesn't burn like mine did last year. Guy Rents would be a wonderful place to do that. So ding, ding, ding. Anyhow, Ruth, tell us about our guest.
Well, today we have Jeff Dennis from Centerline Stage Lighting. And thank you so much for coming. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, thanks, Ruth and Kurt. Good morning. It's great to be here. We at Centerline started in January last year. Formerly, I was the director of operations for Morpheus Lights. When they left town last year, I've been in Redding for about 24 years, so I wasn't about to leave and move to Las Vegas. So
how could you give up Redding?
Exactly. So we stayed here, and I partnered up with Rick Willard and Nancy, and we decided, well, we've been doing this a long time, and why not? You know, there's a local market that's really untapped here that I was really on the national scene with Morpheus and worldwide, but wanted to explore what we could do for the local market. So we've added that in, and we specialize in LED lighting.
So Jeff, for people that don't know, you are the pink sundial bridge. That was just an amazing feat. I just
Thank
looked
you.
At that and said, magic. That's magic.
Ruth loves the magic.
Pink sundial bridge. Can you imagine?
Let's get specific, though, because LED lighting is something that certain communities know a lot about, but it's an up-and-coming way of lights. Now, for someone like me, and I'll just tell you, I'm not a fan of someone telling me what kind of light bulbs to put in my house. I hate compact fluorescents.
And you don't like fluorescents incandescents.
Can't stand fluorescents. I am a fan, however, of LED lights. Very bright, more energy efficient than the compact fluorescents. Mm-hmm. But tell people about, first off, what Morpheus is versus now Centerline. Tell people exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. Rather than focus just on the stage lighting, theatrical lighting aspects, where LED technology actually started in a big way in the theatrical environment, and now it's gone mostly commercial and industrial. There's applications all over the place for it. Morpheus was a stage lighting, specifically stage lighting. So I didn't know anything about the commercial aspects of LED. But now we're looking at where these applications can apply, and they make sense for so many places, not just households, but where you can save. Most people spend about 20% on lighting. If you're cutting your lighting bill by 50% by going LED, you're going to save 10% on your bill right off the bat.
You mostly focus on commercial, though. Is that correct?
We do. We have commercial replacements for just about every kind of commercial light you can think of, the fluorescent tubes. What's great about the LED is you don't use a ballast. You don't have the energy from a ballast, the wasted heat, the buzzing, the replacement cost. It's a huge maintenance cost over time for commercial to hire somebody to climb a ladder, and the liability and the cost of replacing light bulbs as they go out. So not only do the LEDs last much, much longer, they produce better light.
At low cost.
At low cost, absolutely.
So what would your typical customer be here in Reading?
Well, we have done install in Shasta Regional, North Valley Lighting. We do a lot of commercial with churches, believe it or not. You know, we have a combination of, sometimes they ask for some stage lighting, but when we go and talk to a church and say, look, you know, you've got all kinds of industrial lighting here that we'd like to show you as well. So we're doing combination.
Well, you've done the Reading Convention Center, you did the Sundial Bridge, the Cascade Theater, so some really big companies here in Reading.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of their stage lighting for them.
Mm-hmm. And now, moving though, Ruth, beyond the stage lighting, so the light that I've seen them over in the Willard shop, have been the replacements for the fluorescent lights. Explain how that process works, although we only have a minute, so we'll continue after the break, but how does the process work to switch from a typical T5 or T8, I guess, whatever, fluorescent to LED lighting?
Well, it's very simple. It takes about 10 minutes, and you just have to go in and turn the power off, remove the tube, actually bypass the ballast because you don't use the ballast at all. You don't have to remove it, but you are going direct current. So you bypass the ballast and...
Do you use the same mounts?
Absolutely.
So it plugs into the same receptacles. It's a similar size bulb?
Yes, it's the same size bulb. They're plastic rather than glass, so you don't have to worry about that aspect as well.
Okay, we'll continue right after this, and we'll be back after this hard break. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back, Shasta County. I always want to get up and salute when I hear that. I just love that.
It is fun to hear. This is Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel. We're filling in here for Carl and Linda, who have the day off. And we're happy to fill in here on Free Fire Radio. Feel free to call in with any questions at 605-4567. And we're talking with Centerline Lighting.
Jeff Dennis.
With Jeff. And, you know, one of the bloggers, or whatever you call it, chat room comments, was that, you know, this is probably expensive. Now, my perspective on this is simplistic. I'm not a big fan, as I said, of the government telling me that I can't have a high-flow toilet because then it won't flush properly. I'm not a big fan of the government then stepping in saying, as California has done, say, you can't get these nice my floodlights for my kitchen or for my family. That upsets me. I will go to Oregon and I will buy, or I'll go to Nevada and I will buy a 10-year supply so that I don't have to put these silly compact fluorescents in. But... I've seen the LED lights. Now, the reason that it would excite me and the reason I would give it thought is not necessarily the cost of it, because we're talking about, well, first of all, we should talk about the cost. Mm-hmm. But what my motivation is, the light that I get out of that is a different kind of light. It's much brighter. And so specifically for my garage, where I have all fluorescent lights, and I have a pretty good-sized garage, I like the concept of doing this. So if for someone like me that's got, say, I think there's six large fluorescent light setups in my garage, mm-hmm. What kind of a cost is someone like me looking at to do that? And I'm not referring necessarily to the amount of energy savings. My electric bill is outrageous, but it's not because of my lights. It's because of my air conditioner and everything else and the well and all that stuff. So from not including the energy, what are we talking about just as a cost to replace, say, your typical fluorescent in a garage setup in a home?
A typical fluorescent, say your fluorescent has four tubes in the fixture, it's going to cost you a couple of $100 for those tubes. That's your initial investment, of course. Changing them over, you can do it yourself. It's very easy to do, to bypass the ballast and put the tubes in. So you're talking a couple $100 investment, but you've got to remember, too, you're not going to be replacing that lamp in a residential setting for 25 to 30 years. You're going to have instant-on light. You're going to have less heat. So speaking of air conditioning, every watt you save of electricity in lighting translates into saving a half a watt of electricity to power your air conditioning. So the savings are multiple. You don't have the maintenance. You've got the initial cost. And the cost is coming down as technology is getting better and manufacturing is getting, there's more volume, so there's less cost. But even now, you're looking at a return on your investment in an industrial setting of about 3 years, where the next 10 years plus in an industrial setting with their higher usage rates, you're looking at about a 13 to 15 year lifespan of that bulb. So in 3 years, you're paying for your bulb. The next 10 years, you're actually saving money on your electricity.
So for commercial uses, number one, it's just responsible business.
Absolutely.
Because they're safe and they're clean.
Well, it's not only saving the company money, but it's a good image because it's green. A fluorescent tube has mercury in it, as everybody knows. And you now have to pay $2 per tube to dispose of it properly.
And how many? That's one of those things. The whole
Kurt on another rant.
You don't want to get me on one of those because I'm not a big fan of this whole idea of green and all this. You know, the fact of the matter is that no matter what we do in the United States, it's not going to stop the billions of Indians and Chinese from having a toaster. And you're going to tell them they can't have this toaster anyhow. We're going to get on a rant. We don't want to go down that path. It is better. It's easier to dispose of, though. The mercury is a big deal. I don't think people do dispose of their fluorescents correctly. I know most just chuck them in the garbage.
Most of the time they don't. And aside from all of the green aspects, it's a danger.
That's right.
Mercury is dangerous. And if you've got your teenager going out and throwing out your tubes and breaking them on the street or throwing them away.
Which is great fun, by the way.
It's great fun. It's also not good for
you. Storm drain.
That's exactly right.
And that's why we have mercury and tuna.
That's why kids do it, though. It's great fun. So I do see the benefits of this. One of the things, and we're running out of time, but one of the last questions I want to get in here is, one of the knocks on solar has always been that your panels won't last very long. I looked into it, and I possibly should have done it, but it was very expensive, although my electricity is very expensive. So the idea, I think what I was told, is that I'd have to replace my panels in about 8 or 9 years, which was going to be a little bit short of the time it would take me to recoup the investment. And I kind of thought, I'm not sure it's right. I do believe it's going to progress, and I think we'll get there to the point where it makes absolute sense to have more solar involved in everything, especially like on roof panels and stuff like that, where it could be built in and incorporated into the actual construction. But with LED, you don't have that issue where it'll pretty much never run out, or 20 years, or tell us.
It depends on the LED type. There's hundreds of types now, but when we're still talking about the tubes, you're going to get 50,000 hours plus out of a tube, which translates into, about 30 years for residential, 15 years for most businesses that are open 7 days a week.
No hum.
No, it's amazing. My little shop down on Merchant Street, we just retrofitted about 6 months ago our tubes into LED, and it's quiet. It's bright.
Oh, my gosh. I like that quiet, especially in our office. We need all the quiet we can get. We love it when Kurt's not there.
What about cold weather operation? Most fluorescents, when you first turn on the switch and it's a cold morning, it's pretty
$50.
That's a great point, and that's another great application for LED because it's the ballast that doesn't like the cold. And think of Costco with all of their tubes in their freezers. That ballast is constantly trying to fire. So you're wasting ballast energy all day long in those freezers. If those were replaced with LED, you get rid of the ballast, and they'll work perfectly fine instant on at negative 40 degrees C. So not only do they withstand the heat, because they dissipate heat, they have heat sinks built into them, but they work in extreme cold. That's a great application for them as well.
Well, it's neat stuff. So if someone wants to reach you and talk about retrofitting their shop, what's a number they can call you at?
Our number is 221-8789, and we are there. I'm available 7 days a week, but they're regular business hours, 8 to 5. You can come on in right down by the post office on Merchant, and we can show you all kinds of great bulbs. I've just got a huge selection of LED in to hand out as samples that you can try before you buy them. So.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Well, that's
Well, I like clean and I like safe. And the bottom line is that I think it's responsible business if you can cut your costs. And PG&E is not my favorite animal. We can go into smart meters if you want. But my thought is the less money they get, the better.
Well, it's a neat product. It's a local product. It's something that I think would be, I'd certainly... excited about the idea of having my garage be a little brighter. So anyhow, thanks for coming in, Jeff. We appreciate it. We need to take another break.
Thank you.
And we'll be back.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, it is listening to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It is 8:16. And the forecast for the northern Sacramento Valley, look for mostly sunny skies today, a high near 61. Tonight's low will be 40 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Looks like a great weekend and a high near 67 right now, 43 degrees. This weather forecast brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now back to our guest hosts, Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel.
Well, welcome back. This is Kurt Largent filling in here for Carl and Linda. And we're happy to do so. I appreciate the opportunity. You can normally listen to us every Saturday morning. We have the Kurt Largent Show where we talk about real estate. And we're not going to talk about real estate today. We were going to talk tomorrow about some of these foreclosures. But as we've mentioned a few times, I'm under the weather. I'm not sure it's going to happen tomorrow. But Ruth might be here. We'll continue on that, though, and personal accountability and all that good stuff. So anyhow, we're off the lights. The LED lights are pretty cool, though. For what it's worth, they are pretty cool. I think it needs to be something, in my opinion, that you do because you want to upgrade your system. Or if you're a business, it makes sense. Homeownership, I don't know if we're quite cheap enough yet, quite honestly. But for down the road industrial and commercial applications, it seems to me that that's the way to go.
And one of the chat packers said that they changed their Christmas lights out to LED lights and saved $150 on their PG&E bill.
Absolutely. Awesome. So, all right, we have our next guest in here. And full disclosure, he's a friend of mine as well, which is a automatic disadvantage for most. We've got Jason Jones, a local attorney from Wells Small, Flaherty & Weil. And Jason is a kind of a guru of everything. I guess the better question is, you're a good attorney. What would you call your specialty?
Well, I'd say my specialty is real estate. Given my background, that's what I'm predisposed to being in the best position to handle. But I've spent the last 3 years as a deputy district attorney down in Nevada County. So to the extent that I've had that experience, I would say that's been my specialty in the past. But moving forward, I expect it to be more along the lines of real estate.
Well, as I pointed out the last time I saw you, kudos for a very liberal town, Nevada County. Not the liberal, not Berkeley or San Francisco, but pretty darn close.
Yeah, sometimes I felt like that's where we were. It was.
Did you ever get a prosecution there?
We had actually fairly good luck when we made it to trial. It was sometimes just making it past the search and seizure issues and those kinds of things that the rulings didn't always go the way we had hoped they would. But it was an interesting place to be for a while and a nice area, but nice to be back in Reading. So.
Well, Jason, you're from Wells, Small, Flaherty, and Weil, and I had to memorize that because, or Weil. I had to memorize that because, number one, I don't understand. Why do they have to put all their names together? Why can't it be the law firm like L.A. Law or something like that? You're all cute, so.
I've never actually talked to them about that, although I know that it's an interesting question, because when in the bigger cities, oftentimes the law firms, I think, get tired of changing their names, and they go to just one name or retain the name of retired partners. But our firm hasn't made it to that point yet, and so it changes every couple of years. And one of the wells is actually not actively working in the office on a daily basis, but a retired partner, I believe is how he would describe himself.
Okay, so Jason, you are working with the Hidden Hills Group, and that's one of the reasons why we were having you on the
show
today.
Hold on, Ruth. You're gonna jump right into that. No one's gonna understand what the Hidden Hills Group is. So, what is the Hidden Hills Group? Before you start and say that Jason represents them, go ahead and tell the listeners what the Hidden Hills Group is. Well, let me tell them, because you're involved, and I think sometimes you get a little too close to it. So, the bottom line is you have a group of homeowners in an area subdivision of Reading called Hidden Hills, which is located over behind Home Depot. Nice area of average middle, upper middle class homes, move-up homes, we'd call them in real estate, were nice, beautiful, well-maintained neighborhood with somewhat strict, although not necessarily enforced, CC&Rs. So the issue has become that a local resident, one of the owners of one of those houses, has decided that he wants to turn his house into a bed and breakfast, correct?
Correct.
So he's applied with the city of Reading to turn his house in a residential neighborhood into a bed and breakfast. And in doing so, he wants to add a fourth bedroom and another bathroom?
Yes.
So he's applied for a building permit and also to then convert this house from a three-bedroom, two-bath to a four-bedroom, three-bath and make it become a bed and breakfast. So the issue is that's a violation of the CC&Rs, correct?
That's correct. And the last time that we talked about it on our Saturday show was that the city allows a bed and breakfast permit in a single-family residence area. And what is going to happen there in this traditional neighborhood is they are going to take what's a traditional working neighborhood and change it into a commercial business surrounded by people, working people.
Okay. So I guess the issue then becomes, okay, so now you've taken it to the city. The city is saying, and by the way, we'll be spending pretty much the bulk of the hour with Jason. We have had quite a few guests, and so we'll be spending the rest of your time on that. If you have questions for Jason that aren't specific to the Hidden Hills, feel free to call with that. He'll do his best to answer those.
So let me just continue on.
Well, right. The issue is here with the Hidden Hills is that they've applied to the city, and the city is telling them there's no violation,
administrative
correct?
Review. They had three people sit on the panel, Doug DeMelli, I forget the third guy's name, Brett Meyer. Brett was the dissenting voice and said, let's take it to the Planning Commission, because there was some validity in the fact that 67 people signed a petition and said, hey, we don't want this in our in our neighborhood because it's not a traditional bed and breakfast. And he was the one that suggested that it go on to the Planning Commission for review.
Okay. And my first question to Jason after we take this break is going to be, is the neighbor's objections going to hold anything? And we're going to take your answer right after this break.
825. Free Fire Radio at 825. This portion of the program brought to you by T&B Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. That is the home of Espresso Joe's and the walk-in humidor. They're great supporters of the community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Now back to Free Fire Radio's guest hosts, Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel.
Welcome back, Shasta County and Reading. This is Kurt Largent. I am joined by Ruth Angel. We're also joined this morning by Jason Jones, our local attorney with Wells, Small, Flaherty, and Weil. And Jason, we were discussing before the break the issue that's gone before the Board of Administrative Review at the city with regards to a homeowner in a local subdivision that would like to turn his house into a bed and breakfast. And as it turns out, against fairly significant opposition of the local homeowners. Now, to clarify and just to make sure we cover this properly, you represent some but not all of those homeowners, correct?
That is correct. There's a what I describe as a contingent of homeowners in the Hidden Hills subdivision that have come together, because there's no homeowners association that's currently formed in that area, but there are CC&Rs which can be enforced by one or any number of the homeowners in the area. So they've come together for that purpose, and I'm going to be representing them in that regard.
Okay. So at the last meeting, the city came in and said, the Board of Administrative Review, and correct me where I'm wrong here, said that they don't see anything that is a violation or it doesn't go in compliance with what the city regulations are. So they're saying they're going to let it move forward. So the next step is for it to go to City Council?
Well, and let me just disclaim, I haven't been involved with it until recently, so what I know is kind of secondhand, but from what I understand, the initial consideration was made at the Board of Administrative Review, and at that point, the issue of the CCNRs was brought up, but it was determined by one or more of the members of the board at that point that it's not a relevant consideration for with regard to the decision of whether it should be approved, that a bed and breakfast per the city ordinance is allowed in a residential area, and that just wasn't something they were going to consider. That being said, they referred it on to the Planning Commission for a more detailed, I think, analysis or a fuller hearing on the matter, and that's what where we're at this point.
So for the listeners out there that don't know, a lot of times people will buy a house and they will sign what are called CCNRs in there as part of their disclosures at the title company. Every subdivision, for the most part, has CCNRs. Some of them go back 90 years and are very illegal. They will call out that you can't sell to different people of different races and different other things that are discriminatory, and those have been ruled illegal. What people don't understand is that the CCNRs, for the most part, are not worth the paper they're written on from the city's perspective. And I say that, and people say, well, you can sue, and that's the bottom line. The city is going to say, listen, we don't enforce the CCNRs. So when you move into a subdivision and you think this is going to be wonderful, we can't have an RV sticking out in front of our house blocking our view of Mount Shasta, they have to have it behind that gate because it says it in the CCNRs. What people don't understand is in order for that to be enforced, basically, you have to pursue it on your own or a group or possibly a very active homeowners association. Would that be correct?
That would be correct. And I think in subdivisions where there's a homeowners association and there's a provision in the CCNRs for the collection of dues, you have a lot more power because
yes.
There's a pool of money there that can be used to enforce these things. But in a situation where you have CCNRs that don't provide for a homeowners association, then it is up to the individual person or people to come together and make those arrangements. So, yeah, and I think you're right. I also, in the interest of full disclosure, my being a realtor and having some background in this, I agree with you. I think that people do not understand really or even read probably the CCNRs that are given to them, and it really, it determines your rights to use the property you're purchasing, so they're more important than I think people give them credit for.
They are, and they can be very, very restrictive. People don't understand. You get into certain neighborhoods. There's a neighborhood on down by Caldwell Park up on the ridge there. Those homeowners are very active in their pursuit of enforcement of the CCNRs. If you park your truck out or your RV out for more than a day, we're going to hear about it. We're going to continue this discussion after this break.
Fox News up next on KCNR. This is Free Fire Radio. This portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue. Discounts to veterans. It is man's last stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop down there on Athens Avenue. Now back to our guest hosts on Free Fire Radio, Kurt Larchin and Ruth Angel.
Welcome back, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent, and thanks for listening in. We're filling in for Carl and Linda. They should be back, I believe, on Monday is my understanding, so you won't have to endure this torture much longer. Anyhow, we're joined by Jason Jones, and he is a local attorney, and we've been discussing some of these. Basically, it's a CCNRs case, and to bring it quickly up to speed, the CCNRs, there's an owner of a house in there that wants to turn his house into a bed and breakfast. It looks like it's going to go through the city okay. And so there's been a group of homeowners, not all, but some of the homeowners. It looked like
the majority of the homeowners.
Yeah, there was a large group that I saw at a meeting locally here. And the majority of these homeowners are opposed, and they've showed up at the city. They told them they were opposed there, and now they're meeting. It looks like they're going to be hiring an attorney. So the ultimate outcome of this, Jason, basically to me, if I'm not mistaken, seems that the city is going to probably say, listen, this doesn't violate our issues, doesn't violate our zoning and codes. They want the permit fees. They've probably already collected some fees. And then it's going to become a civil issue. Am I wrong?
I think in reality, you're probably right. I think it's interesting, though, to note that especially nowadays, the city's requiring CCNRs and sometimes even actually having provisions for a homeowners association within the CCNRs to ensure they're enforced. But then at the same time, when an issue comes up, they're willing to disregard the CC&Rs that have been imposed on a property and basically approve a project that without doubt is in violation of the CC&Rs and force it to become a civil issue and necessitate attorneys getting involved, which is expensive and unfortunate. But I think in reality, just based upon what I've heard secondhand about how the owners have gotten to where they are now, it sounds to me like ultimately they're going to have to rely on their rights to use the civil process to stop it.
Yeah. Well, I actually think that when people go and buy a home, and we're talking about Hidden Hills now, but it affects every subdivision in the city. Bottom line, there's Country Heights, there's Silver Creek, there's all these neighborhoods where people go in and they buy homes and they look at their CC&Rs and they say, these are rules that I can live with, like we said in the break. These are rules that I can actually live with. And you read them, and then you see people who ultimately want to disregard those rules, and that's the problem here. And I take offense to that, because not that I have to have every rule abided by, but I want to live in a neighborhood that's a traditional neighborhood. And that's why we have you, Jason, because we have to, you know, sometimes you have to make people conform. And the majority of folks there in Hidden Hills are saying, hey, we don't want this B&B. We don't want the commercial aspect in our subdivision. And every neighborhood, you have to really look at the big picture. So we want a long-term goal of helping folks that are having these types of issues.
Yeah, and I think one of the realities of it, and Jason, just correct me where I'm wrong, because obviously I'm not the attorney here, but you would think that he may win and get the right, the homeowner may get the right to go ahead and try and do this, but he doesn't have a leg to stand on civilly. So in a court of law, a judge would look at that and say, listen, you bought this house knowing that you could not operate this year. So they're not denying you any opportunity, and whether or not it's allowable doesn't mean it's legal.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think that's why CC&Rs are important. It's important that when you buy a piece of property, you're able to have some certainty of the way that your property and other properties around you are going to be used, if that's an interest that you have. I mean, there's certainly a lot of property out there single-family homes that aren't burdened by CC&Rs, if you want to call it a burden, but really it's a burden that comes with a benefit. And you know, but if you do choose to buy a home that has CC&Rs, then you know, I'm from what I've seen at this point, it seems pretty clear that bed and breakfast is a blatant violation of CC&Rs that only allow for residential use. And there's even some case law that suggests, without having a established business, that renting out of individual rooms within a house using a separate lease for each room can violate a residential-only restriction in CC&Rs. So certainly getting a business license and a site development permit for a bed and breakfast like this, from what I've seen, is a clear violation of the CC&Rs.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to the issue of, and we'll continue talking about this kind of borderline topic, on move around it a little bit, in eminent domain, what the city can and can't tell you to do, use restrictions on houses. One of the things that's come to my attention here in the last few weeks is that a neighbor of mine told me that he had allowed is the key word there, allowed his road to be used, which is a private gravel road, allowed it to be used by one of the neighbors, did not receive any compensation, but in order for the neighbor to develop his lot, his land into multiple lots, they had to give him fire access. So they installed a permanent gate that a fire engine can drive through, so it's got fire access, but then it made it a secondary exit. Well, he decided he wanted to gate his actual road because he was getting a lot of people driving, just driving around, and was told then by the county, oh, no, we've changed the rules. If you've given up a fire access on your road, you can no longer put a private gate up. It's not allowed, which blew my mind, that the government's going to step in after the fact. So here you go doing your neighbor a good, you know, here, I'll do you right. I've known you for 30 years, blah, blah, and I'll let you use my road for access. Maybe he gives you something. Now, if there's compensation, I think that changes things. But if there's no compensation, you just do it. And then the government telling you, no, you can't do this any longer. It's one of those things, and I think we'll continue with that line of discussion after the break. We'll be back right after this.
Coming up, check of the weather. It is 8:40 on KCNR 1460. This is Free Fire Radio. Uh-huh. 844 now on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, last check of the weather. We are looking for sunny skies today. The high will be near 63 degrees. Light winds out of the north, 10 to 20 miles an hour. That's not exactly light winds. Mostly clear tonight, low of 41. And tomorrow should be partly cloudy, but otherwise a pretty nice weekend. Right now, 46 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now, back to Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel.
Welcome back, Shasta County. We were talking with Jason Jones of Wells, Flaherty, Small, and Whale. Well, how do you say
Why don't you help her out, Jason?
Wells, Small, Flaherty, and Wile.
Oh, there you go. See, I told you I had to memorize it just for a few minutes, and then I lost it. But we were talking about the B&B in Hidden Hills. And just to kind of finish up with that, I just wanted to say that I'm a little disappointed in the Planning Commission, because I think if you lose confidence in our Planning Commission, what do you have next? The fact that these other B&Bs went in and didn't have any opposition, and they have features that they have views, they're on the river, and the one that may be similar to ours is actually on the river. So they do have access to the river. So this is very unique in that it is in a traditional subdivision, and that this city isn't saying, hey, there's enough opposition. The majority of homeowners in there are opposing to this, that they don't say, you know, this isn't good for the community. This is not something that, and they just don't do it. Why we have to, you know, maybe it's that they want to collect the fees in a time where they need the fees. I don't understand why they're basically not saying this is, there's enough opposition in this area that this is not worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I can't really say either. From what I understand, there was a large number of the homeowners at the Board of Administrative Review, and that didn't have the effect that you had hoped it would. But, you know, I think that maybe the Planning Commission will be a new day, and maybe the opposition from the neighborhood, while not specifically a factor that, you know, I think they have to take into account, it certainly is a compelling reason to consider whether this is a good use. And that's why a site development permit is needed in this case, I would suggest, because there's a realization that this isn't appropriate in every circumstance. And, you know, the kind of opposition that there is in the Hidden Hills subdivision certainly suggests that it's going to take away from the quality of life of the resident owners in that area.
And maybe, as Max says in the chat room, it's a win-win for the city. If they go ahead and say, send it off to the Planning Commission and it gets turned down there, and
even if it gets approved there, it doesn't matter. Even if it gets approved there, it's still going to move forward. The city's going to say, listen, it doesn't violate what we're saying. You guys knock it out in civil court.
Well, the city gets their fees,
they
and
get
then
their fees.
We get just, then they don't get what they need. They
and,
want.
And again, the attorneys just get rich, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know about rich, but. Yeah, and I can't really speak. I'm not sure at what point along the line they collect the fees. So that, you know, that may well be the case. I'm just not sure about that offhand.
In typical legalese covering both ends there. But I can tell you, you have to apply. There's a fee when you apply, I think, for that original. It may not be much. It's all just
I think
the principle.
$1,400 or something.
To me, it does seem a little bit. I've always had a problem with the fact that the city will let you apply for something that has zero chance of ever being approved. They will not stop you. There will not be any help. The county will do the same thing. You come in there and you want to apply for something, you bring your application fees, and the first person that looks at that just accepts your money. There's no, oh, you know what, this has zero chance of ever happening. You should save your $212. That never happens. I have a fundamental problem with that. The whole role of government is supposed to be to assist us, not to govern over us, but necessarily, in my opinion, to assist us. So when you have a situation like this where they're going to go ahead and approve something that they know is a direct violation of the CCNRs, and when they were asked about that, they're going to say, well, you don't have to do CCNRs. Well, having been involved with a few developments, you do have to do CCNRs. So I'm not sure where we have the disconnect. I know we did a condo development, which is different, again, because you bring in condo CCNRs is different. But one of the things that's required on that checklist for all your development is a list of your CCNRs. So in order for them to say you can do this, you can have this, you know, we're going to let you have this bed and breakfast, even though we clearly know it's a violation of the CCNRs, our standpoint is you can do it. We think that's a civil matter. I think it's just, I don't think it's right. I don't, if nothing else, I think they should give the money back, because they're not facilitating something that's going to be good for both parties, which should be the role of government.
Well, it seems to me they should at least be willing to consider that. You know, the factors that they do have, or findings that they need to make, you can certainly make an argument that proposed use being against the CCNRs falls into one or more of those categories. And so I would hope at the Planning Commission that, they at least take that into consideration. But, you know, all that being said, I think that ultimately, one way or the other, it will, the homeowners will be successful in putting a stop to it.
I think so.
But you have to fight it at each level and hope for the best.
It's a bit of a shame because you're going to end up with one very unhappy homeowner in there. But then again, if you don't like it, you can move. Yeah. And just like if you don't like watching and hearing what you hear, you can change the channel. So I know it's not easy to move, but at the same time, maybe it's just something you choose not to do. Yeah. So I think we need to take one more break right here. So we'll do that, and we'll be back after this.
So brought to you by B&T Satellite, locally owned. They are your dish network provider. Don't call the 800 number. That's B&T Satellite in their new location on Liberty Street, where Highway 44 comes into town or where it leaves town, depending on your point of view. Again, don't call the 800 number. Doug Tooley and his group of installers down there will set you up with the latest and greatest in home theater. Check them out online at ReadingHDTheater.com. Now, one more time, back to Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel on Free Fire Radio.
Well, thanks for listening, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent. I'm joined by Ruth Angel, and also our guest has been Jason Jones of Wells, Small, Flaherty, and Weil. And we were talking about some of the Hidden Hill CCNR issues and just some of the issues that come up that people don't normally think about on a daily basis. So when you go and you buy that house and you just kind of skim through those CCNRs, how that comes back to affect you. One of the items that we touched on during the break was the good old McConnell Foundation is back in the picture, and we'll give a topic for you to continue discussing next week, but it looks like they're going to be putting a roundabout out there at Shasta View and Old Alturas at a cost of double what the a light would have cost, which is hard to believe in this environment that we could do that. We're getting a good loan, but it comes back to me to the good use of government and government interaction, and how it interacts with its citizens and so on and so forth, as opposed to one large, well-funded citizen. And so I guess that's a little scattered, but my thought would be when we talk about eminent domain, we talk about enforcement, and we talk about cities' role in affecting things, you need to understand when you get involved in a transaction, whether it's a gate that you're going to be installing, whether it's a house you're buying that's in an area with CCNRs, whether it's doing a development and what you're asking for in order to get those things through, the city's role in that should be one of assistance. And I think that's the approach you should take when you go in there. Am I wrong, Ruth?
No, I think you're absolutely right. We were talking about the gate issue with your neighbor, and doing a good thing turns into a lawsuit. And I think that, you know, you just have to be careful in everything that you do. And one of the things I wanted to mention to you, Jason, it was a bad day for attorneys yesterday in Reading.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
Well, they did the DUI checkpoint and not a single DUI arrest.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that I actually heard that used as a justification for a successful DUI checkpoint, because it was so successful that, you know, you scared everyone off the road who would even think of driving under the influence.
Well, I have to say, I am thrilled that there were no DUI arrests. There were suspended license arrests, and they stopped like 560-some-odd cars.
Boy, I would be concerned if we had a lot of DUIs on a Wednesday, on a Thursday night. I would
well,
be just, I'm glad
is,
there weren't.
It, you know, it's interesting that the time that they put those up, I mean, usually it's before midnight that they're done. And the whole purpose, you know, or the justification that allows DUI checkpoints to be legal, given that they're stopping you without any justification in the beginning, is that it's for the deterrent effect that a DUI checkpoint has. And that's why they say if they don't get anyone, then that purpose has been served, which I think is interesting logic. But you know, I think it would certainly serve as more deterrent if they were to do it between midnight and 4 a.m. You know, I'm not sure how they pick the time, but...
I'm not sure either. I'll be driving down Churn Creek, and there'll be three... I'll look up ahead, and I'll see them setting everything up, and so I'll just make a left. I'll go around it. I'm not drinking. I'm not worried about it, but I don't want to stop for 15 minutes either.
Yeah.
There's so many... If, you know, unless you're really liquored...
you're going to have an opportunity to drive a different route.
Well, and Kurt, they do know your car. They're used to pulling you over for speeding.
I am very close to my 2-year back on good graces. I'm almost done. I'm only about 2 months left. But
yeah,
thanks for coming in, Jason. We did not get to any of the subjects that I wanted to get to, sadly. I wanted to rant about the highway patrolman that sits at the hilltop off-ramp and gives repeatedly, specifically repeated tickets to me for not wearing a seatbelt. How
he's
that's
saving
not,
your life, and you don't even know it,
I'll
Kurt.
Tell you,
he's
that is such
your
an,
life.
That is
you
such,
have been in a head-on collision, so you know how, the importance of wearing your seatbelt, Kurt.
Oh, it just drives me crazy. That's when I look at and I go, how is that not an infringement on my liberty? If I want to be an idiot and not wear that seatbelt, I should be allowed
you
to.
You go, California Highway Patrol. He drives a silver Lexus.
Anyhow, we appreciate that. Any last thoughts here, Ruth, other than we're very thankful to Carl and Linda for letting us sit in here. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully we haven't bored everybody to tears.
Well, we certainly miss Carl and Linda, and I don't know how to be as bubbly as she is in the morning and just come. She has such a great personality and such energy in the morning. I don't know how she does it at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Jason, I know that attorneys don't often advertise, but if people did have a question, just because I would vouch for Jason, he's a good guy and a good attorney. If people wanted to contact you for further questions, what's the best number to reach you at?
The main office number is area code 530-223-1800, and anyone who would like is also welcome to email me. My email is wsfwlaw.com.
Well, Small, Flaherty, and Weil.
You got it.
There you go.
It only took 2 hours for me to get that right. Well, thanks for listening. We have enjoyed it. As we're going into this weekend, I would like to encourage everybody to fight the good fight. Don't believe the liberal lines that if this shutdown occurs, that it's going to be the end of the world, that the sky will not fall. I think we'll find that there's many things that we're having done that we don't need to have done. And hopefully we can turn this negative into a positive. So I think we still have about a minute left here. Any final thoughts other than on this shutdown, Ruth?
Well, I just hope they don't draw the line in the sand now. I hope that they do it in 6 months. I hope that folks get out today. The sun is going to be out there, and it's going to be a beautiful day in Shasta County. Enjoy where you live. Don't take for granted any moment living in this area.
It is a gorgeous day, and I would encourage you that I think there might still be time. It might already be done, but if you have a moment to interact to your city council member, let them know what you think about things like this turnaround that they're going to put over there in Shasta View. That's going to cost twice what a light would have cost. If you drive out by that school, you talk about it, it's almost a tourist attraction. It's about the prettiest school I've ever seen for this new school of the arts. And McConnell does things pretty, but that would have been a bunch of beautiful homes. I remember when they took that land out of the use for subdivisions. And that means higher prices down the road. So anyhow, thanks again for listening. It's been a lot of fun being in here, filling in for Carl and Linda here on KCNR 1460. And we'll look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.